The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
You may not recognize the voice because it's a little more nasal toned and a lot more obnoxious. This is Chris Connell filling in for the one, the only, the incredible Steve Noble. I am a friend of Steve's. I'm a local pastor on staff at Cross Assembly with a shout out to my pastor, Chad Harvey. And we're here today on the Steve Noble Show. And there was a song, I think it came back in the 70s, came out in the 70s, called Puff the Magic Dragon. And it was a song that was strictly really about marijuana. And today we're going to talk about marijuana, the legalization of the recreational use. The medical use has been around for a while, of marijuana in these United States. Currently, according to my research, or Seth's research, thank you very much, Seth, 24 states have made the recreational use of marijuana legal, and many more states have laws on the books. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, referring to the eating of the meat of idols, what's vitables? Idols, he said in verse 23, all things are lawful, 1 Corinthians 10, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. He'll eat whatever is sold in the meat market, because we're talking about eating the meat of idols. Well, listen, just because marijuana use may be legal in half of our states, and rumor is that it's going to be happening in North Carolina as well, doesn't mean it's good for you. I've got a very good friend I'm going to bring here on the air here in just a moment. His name is Dr. Craig Fowler. He's a personal friend. He doesn't like me to call him Dr. Craig, so if I call him Craig, no, it's no disrespect. He is currently the surgery and surgical specialty divisions chair, including anesthesiology at the Jerry M. Wallace School of Osteopathic Medicine, at Campbell University. He is also the clinical associate professor at UNC School of Medicine and medical director emeritus and medical advisory board chair for Miracles in Sight, which I believe is an eye bank. He's a good friend and someone that I really enjoy. He's done a lot of research on this. I'm going to bring him on now. Dr. Craig Fowler, you are on the air with the Steve Noble Show. Dr. Craig, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be of help, and thank you for educating the public.
Yeah, well, Dr. Craig, and I know you don't like me to call you a doctor, but I'm okay to call you a doctor on the air. Is that okay?
Whatever you prefer.
All right. Listen, I could spend a lot of time on your accolades. You're an incredible surgeon. You have an incredible heart for the Lord. You're doing great work. You've done a lot of research on marijuana, and you said something to me off the air a few moments ago about a few basic things that most people don't know about marijuana. Could you share with Steve's listeners what you know and what you've begun to understand about its effects from a medical viewpoint?
Well, thank you for asking. Just a little bit of background. You know, in terms of public opinion with regard to marijuana, there was a Gallup poll done in October of 2018, and roughly at that time, 64% of Americans were in favor of legalizing marijuana.
Wow.
So it's very interesting what's happening culturally.
Yes.
Just kind of a brief chemistry lesson about marijuana. There's roughly, there's over 480 natural components found within the cannabis sativa plant, of which 66 have been classified as cannabinoids. These
okay.
are chemicals unique to the cannabis plant. These include things like THC, CBD, THCV, CBN, THCA, CBG, and so on. But just a kind of big picture overview, just kind of giving you a chemistry lesson about marijuana. The two main ingredients that we talk about are THC and CBD. And
right.
just to help people understand, THC is what has the psychoactive ingredients. It's hallucinogenic. CBD, it's not psychoactive, although it appears to have a mild anti-anxiety effect. Well, additionally, CBD lessens the psychoactive effects and psychotic side effects of THC. So these are some things just to kind of, be aware of.
Okay.
About just in terms of brief history lesson, marijuana in its natural state was probably a relatively mild sedative and a kind of a calming agent.
Okay.
And the natural levels of THC way back when in CBD were probably both under 100% until recently.
Okay.
But when you think about this historically, if you think about the new marijuana, THC levels are rising rapidly due to farming techniques designed to raise the THC percentage. Hallucinogenic impact, if you will.
And why are they doing that? Is that so people get a better high?
Yeah, absolutely. So powerful, they use powerful light, selective breeding, special soil. So if we were to look at, marijuana THC potency by year, and we looked in the, mid-70s, you're down around 1%. After 2010, it was rising about 14%. And then what's really interesting, if you look at this, if we look at this, the THC levels now are 10 to 30 times higher than the marijuana of the 1960s and 1970s.
So 10 to 30 times higher. Wow.
10 to 30 times higher. And so higher THC, so in concert with this, this is not your grandpa's or your dad's marijuana, okay?
Right.
The CBD levels have dropped in half over the last two decades. So what that means is higher THC and lower CBD levels mean a more rapid and intense high and, unfortunately, more health complications. Now, let me put this in perspective just for folks so this makes a little sense.
Okay.
Policymakers in Uruguay and the Netherlands, right, liberal, have recommended that marijuana with a THC content of over 15% be classified with heroin and cocaine.
Holy cow. That's unbelievable.
Let that sink in for a minute. Now, the new marijuana, there's so many ways to consume it, more products to sell. You can smoke it, inhale it, vaporize it, nasal sprays, eat it, drink it, topical applications, even suppositories.
Wow. That's awful.
You kind of keep this in mind, what's happening. And, these are just kind of helpful things for people to know about.
All right. Hey, Dr. Craig, let me jump in because we're going to go to the second segment here.
Okay.
Stay on the air. We're going to put you on hold. I'll bring you right back. We're talking about marijuana, Puff the Magic Dragon. Lawful, but is it beneficial? Our guest, Dr. Craig Fowler, knows quite a bit. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss this show. You are listening to The Steve Noble Show. And this is not Steve Noble. This is Chris Connell, a friend of Steve's. Today we're talking about Puff the Magic Dragon, marijuana, ganja, weed, Mary Jane. It's fully legal in 24 of our United States, according to the research that I've had this afternoon. And many other states have it on the books legislatively. Many, or if not most, except for a few states, have the medicinal use of it to be legal. But just because it's lawful, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, doesn't mean it's beneficial. Our guest is Dr. Craig Fowler, who graciously, very last minute, by the way, offered and was willing to call in, which I was very grateful because he has a very busy schedule. And Dr. Fowler is MD. Is the professor and chair of surgery at the Campbell University School of Osteopathic Medicine. He's a clinical associate professor, UNC School of Medicine, and medical director emeritus and medical advisory board chair for Miracles in Sight. He's done quite a bit of research on this subject. We're going to bring him back on. Dr. Craig, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So at the previous segment, you were sharing that the marijuana that people are taking recreationally today. There are two drugs. There's a THC drug, and that's the initials for it, and a CBD drug. And you were saying that the current strains, if I can say that, of marijuana are much higher in their content of THC. Does this have a negative effect? Is the public aware If the government is making it legal, does that mean it's good for people? Is it beneficial? Share with us your thoughts on that, Dr. Craig.
So just the two main ingredients that when we're talking about that again for folks, when we think about cannabis sativa, that's an annual flowering herbaceous plant that's indigenous to Eastern Asia. And you can subdivide this to hemp and then marijuana. Now, hemp we think of as an agricultural production. Marijuana, which we're thinking of pharmacological production.
Okay.
And so, you know, basically, you know, what's happened historically is that the natural levels of THC and CBD, which are the key components that we're talking about with regard to marijuana, were really 1% until recently. And the THC levels now are 10 to 30 times higher than the marijuana of the 60s and 70s. This is not your grandpa's marijuana or your dad's.
No.
Right? So
right.
The THC levels much higher, and the lower CBD levels mean a much more rapid ascent high. And
okay.
If you hit this about 15% level of THC, that's policymakers in Uruguay and Netherlands will guard this, should be classified with marijuana. I mean, assuming with heroin and cocaine. Okay, so we have much, much higher levels now.
Right.
So you have to realize that what's out there is quite different in terms of these. And you got to know that these high THC concentrations with regard to research, very few studies have been done with THC over 15%. And anecdotal objective observations suggest an increase in psychosis, paranoia, pain attacks, mood disorders, cardiovascular effects, which include things like tachycardia, hypertension, arrhythmias, cognitive impairment, hallucinations, schizophrenia. And this is significant. 1 in 4 traffic fatalities in the state of Colorado, the drivers test positive for THC.
25%. 25% of the accidents that are occurring in Colorado.
But
somebody...
fatality. Fatal accident, right? So this is
fatal.
Serious.
So wow.
Let me give you some of the things about marijuana dangers. I must say that, you know, when we look at, you have to kind of realize that current state medical marijuana laws vary greatly. Most will approve medical marijuana for illnesses such as HIV, ALS, Huntington's, even hepatitis, Parkinson's, I believe to say for glaucoma, and as an ophthalmologist, no one would ever use this for glaucoma. Even though the scientific data, you must realize, is extremely weak, non-existent, or even negative for many of these illnesses. And so, you know, you just got to realize that, in general, medical researchers and government experts say no to medical marijuana. For instance, Jerome Adams, you know, our Surgeon General of the United States, in June of 2019, he says, I want you to hear me say this as the nation's doctor. There is no such thing as medical marijuana, end quote.
Wow.
The U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, 2018, said, quote, no such thing as medical marijuana, end quote. The National Academy of Sciences, Engineering and Medicine called on better research decrying, quote, lack of definitive evidence on using medical marijuana, end quote, 2017.
Wow.
The Cleveland Clinic. 2018, the Cleveland Clinic says no. Quote, in the world of healthcare, a medication is a drug that has endured extensive clinical trials, public hearings, and approval by the FDA. Medications are tested for safety and efficacy. They are closely regulated from production to distribution. They are accurately dosed down to the milligram. Medical marijuana is none of these things. End quote. 2018. Cleveland Clinic says no. And despite being legal in Ohio, the Cleveland Clinic physicians, PAs, nurse practitioners will not recommend medical marijuana patients. In fact, quote, this is their quote, we believe there are better alternatives, products such as vaporizers, edibles, oils, tinctures, and patches, all lack uniform doing specificity. The levels of THC or CBD can differ greatly from one dispensary to another or one batch to another. By contrast, again, I'm quoting here, an FDA-approved medication offers uniformity. A medication bought in Cleveland today will be the same medication bought in Denver tomorrow, end quote, right? So you've got to realize that smoking is a very harmful route of administration for any medicinal compound because of carcinogens and other, you know, harmful materials which are known to produce adverse effects on the lungs or other tissues. No prudent or reasonable physician should ever recommend smoking as accepted medication delivery method. And So
these are the experts that are speaking in, Dr. Craig, and saying this is not something that is good for even medical purposes, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yep. Yeah, so, well, what happens is, well, you've got to realize that let me just explain some things about, the whole thing is, as healthcare professionals, we want to have appropriate regulation. We want to have appropriate studies done. And so we need, in terms of my personal opinion, as healthcare professionals, we need to be honest and courageous and warn patients about the marijuana hype, the downright false and misleading medical claims. We need to warn patients about those who place profits over people. This can be medical charlatans who have always existed and always will. We need to warn patients about politicians who want tax revenue and their vote. We need to warn patients about people who demonize anything associated with marijuana, because that's also an issue.
Right.
And we need to educate our churches and neighborhoods. So, I mean, the myth is CBD is natural, safe, and it has all the health benefits of marijuana without the high. But reality is we're dealing with high profits. And the unfortunate issue is there's no regulation. So we can't really properly address the safety concerns. And there's a shocking lack of efficacy. So,
wow.
So you have to look. So we look to the future when we think about this. In basic research studies,
hey, Dr. Craig, let me jump in. We're timing out. If you can, could you stay for one more segment?
Sure,
I would love it.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back with Dr. Craig Fowler. We're talking about marijuana, Puff the Magic Dragon. It's lawful, but is it beneficial? That's a good question Paul asked at 1 Corinthians 10. CBD oil, CBD you hear all the time, does have some additional purposes. I'm concerned. Concerned about our culture. This is going to have on the next generation, because they're being told it's lawful, it's beneficial. It's lawful, but that doesn't mean, pardon me, that it's beneficial. Any questions you've got? You can try to call in 866-348-7884 and leave the question for Keith. And then you can also go to Steve Noble's Facebook page and put a comment up there if you would like to. And we'll try to respond as we're able. I don't know. Great question, Lisa Frank. On suppose a policeman has probable cause to search for marijuana in someone's car and finds it. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting question. I honestly don't know a good response to that, but I think that there's been some wisdom for the reason why it was made illegal in the first place. And Lisa Frankel said that's why ODs, people who are overdosing on drugs, are going up, and sometimes because of medical marijuana. So, and I have not heard of the CBD miracle stick. I need to figure out what that is. Seth, help me figure out what CBD stands for. I'm looking for the correct word, and I have a very busy life, so I don't always have the time I would like to do all the research I would like coming in, but it is a privilege to be here and serve, and I'm so grateful to have someone on the air who knows what they're talking about, because this is a very important topic. Very important topic. So, and I think that we have young people that are...
Hello. Hi. Yep. Sorry to interrupt, but we're live now.
Okay. I didn't hear the intro music. I apologize. I did not know that.
That's okay.
All right. Hey, this is Chris Conifano for Steve Noble. My apologies on that. I am here. I did not hear the intro music, but we are talking today about marijuana and its recreational use and how 24 of our United States states have made recreational use Legal. Our guest we have with us today is Dr. Craig Fowler, and he has done quite a bit of research on this. He is currently the professor and chair of surgery at the Campbell University School of Medicine. He's also a clinical associate professor at UNC School of Medicine and a medical director emeritus and medical advisory board chair for Miracles in Sight. And we're going to bring him back here on the air. Dr. Craig, thanks for being on the show today. It's a great privilege to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, Pastor Chris, just given the limited time, I'm wondering if you might indulge me. Just I wanted to make sure I gave the marijuana side a fair shake on certain things that where we have substantial evidence for some effectiveness.
Okay.
But also to highlight the marijuana dangers that I think people are not aware of.
That would be great.
Broadcast, okay? So with regard to where we have some research and studies where we have substantial evidence, we know that we have some effectiveness for chronic pain in adults, spasticity, multiple sclerosis, some effectiveness for appetite and weight loss in patients with AIDS, also as an antiemetic and chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting, and some rare forms of childhood epilepsy. So, but we also have, and there's things where we have some moderate evidence in fibromyalgia, chronic pain, but where we have like no evidence of any significance would be cancer, anorexia nervosa, irritable bowel syndrome, things like this. So there's substantial evidence of complications.
So you're saying, Dr. Craig, there is some evidence that there are some medicinal uses that are good. Now, is that coming from the CBD part of the marijuana or the THC part of it?
So, well, you have to kind of break these things down and realize the main ingredients. The THC is the psychoactive ingredient in hallucinogenic, right? The CBD, the cannabidiol, is not psychoactive, although it appears to have a mild anti-anxiety effect. It lessens the psychoactive effect and psychotic side effects of THC. What we need to realize that, you know, let me, and I do want to get, please permit me, let me know when it's time. I want to go over some of the dangers. But
yep.
I would just like to kind of put this in perspective, because CMD as a whole, we have some, there's some nice books out there that are highly recommended. But
you've got a good 5 minutes right now, so you're doing good.
So think about foxglove, digitalis. It's also known as witch's glove. In the 1600s, it was regarded as folk medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But then 1700s, there's a British physician named William Withering, and he published a medical text proving it was good for quote-unquote dropsy. But then in 1800s, we isolated the active ingredient, which was digoxin. And in the 1900s, we purified digoxin and found it was good for certain heart conditions. So when we looked at this in 1900, you know, you purified digoxin, you found it was good for certain heart conditions, such as congestive heart failure and AFib. We had to test the absorption effects on humans. And then we found that we needed higher doses for atrial fibrillation and lower doses for congestive heart failure.
Okay.
So with that, we then developed a manufacturing process to produce accuracy to the milligram. And then we determined that digoxin should be, you know, a prescription-only medication.
Okay.
But in the 1900s, we then observed new obstacles developed as physicians started prescribing it. It had to be taken frequently. Then we discovered there were toxic doses that were only a slight bit higher than the therapeutic dose. We called it DIGS toxicity. And so we had to develop long-acting formulations, and we had to develop blood tests to determine levels. And it was found to have limited benefits, and better drugs have been developed. So
okay.
What if we had kept growing foxglove in our backyard? What if everyone experimented by themselves or with their neighbors to figure out what to use it for, how often to use it, how much to use? It's horribly dangerous in that regard. And that's kind of where we are, you know, when we look at marijuana and hemp and so forth. We're going to find appropriate benefits, but you have to have it regulated, and you have to have it properly tested. And so we can't have public opinion determining the use of this without having appropriate oversight. That's why Cleveland Clinic says what it does. That's why the Surgeon General says it. That's why most physicians will say this. But I would like to just comment. You never hear on the news the marijuana dangers.
So I'd no,
like
you
to
don't.
Rattle off them. And this is the sad part, because you have this widespread public thing because money is driving certain things. But consider this. Heavy marijuana exposure starting in adolescence predicts an 8-point drop in IQ from ages 13 to 38 years. And for reference purposes, I believe the IQ drop with lead, you know, like you see in lead paint, was only 6 points. So it's kind of amazing. We remove lead from paint and everything else, but this danger is ignored. Consider this. There's a twofold increased risk of psychosis in adulthood with marijuana use.
Wow.
Consider this. And these are all, I've got all the references for these things, but time won't, you know, permit this, but we provide this for any of you that would like. I can give you this in a PDF. One in six develop addiction, published in Lancet. Daily smoking is associated with premalignant changes in the airway. This is all common sense. Scarily, there's an increase of ischemic stroke in people aged less than 55 years.
Wow.
Many references for this. Increased risk of myocardial infarction, that's heart attack, right?
Right.
Increased risk of it. Get this. This is really striking. Daily use and memory impairment for 7 days. One of the studies, that was out, this was done by, the point is, this memory impairment, this has a lot to do with the cognition impairment and why we see the increased fatalities in traffic accidents. This is 1 in 4 driver's test positive or THC. With regard to pregnancy and early exposure, consider this. Decreased IQ at age 5 is 6 points down. With regard to pregnancy and early exposure, there's increased odds of depression at age 10. It's 35% versus 70%.
Wow.
There's also increased odds of marijuana use at age 14. You know, moms want their kids to be smart, but consider this. Decreased school achievement at age 14.
Wow.
And so, you know, these are things that we need to study this further and just blanketly putting it out and think this is not alcohol.
No.
Not the same. And so, you know,
Dr. Craig, is that with the United States having 24, almost half of its states legalizing, you know, recreational use, that young people are saying, well, if the government says, okay, it must be okay. There must not be any harm in it. But you're telling me, yeah, Chris, there are some medical benefits, but there's also significant repercussions for those who do use this recreationally, and it can actually lead to fatalities in the car accident statistic you quoted earlier.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's just a plant. Marijuana is just a plant. It's not the devil's weed, but it's not a cure-all for everything.
And right.
So we have to be, you know, responsible in our investigations. I mean, the story of Foxglove, I think, in Digitalis is very prescient.
It
offers a significant parallel to help us understand, why we have
Dr. Craig, I'm going to jump in. We're hopping off. We'll be right back with the Steve Noble Show in just a second. Dr. Craig Farr has been our guest. Thank you so much for being with us today. Dr. Craig, we appreciate all your insights and information. This is the Steve Noble Show, and this is guest host Chris Connell filling in, talking about Puff, the magic dragon, the legalization of marijuana in these United States. 24 of our states have said it's okay to smoke marijuana recreationally. Our guest, Dr. Craig Fowler, has other information being sharing with us. He's a professor and chair of surgery at Campbell University and a clinical associate professor at UNC School of Medicine, and also the Medical Director Emeritus and Medical Advisory Board Chair for Miracles in Sight. Is also a good friend. Dr. Craig Fowler is here with us talking about the use of marijuana recreationally and the evidence behind it. Dr. Craig, thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time today. It's been great.
Honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me and trying to get a balanced piece of information out to the public.
So, Dr. Fowler, one of the things that happens, I think, in this day and age is because so many states are legalizing it, North Carolina has decriminalized recreational use. That means they kind of just slap you on the hand if you get caught with it to a certain extent, unless you're like dealing it or something to that effect. With that being said, if we have parents in our church, being a pastor myself, that are dealing with their younger people growing up and they're looking at what our government is telling them that is good, what kind of information would you recommend parents talk with their students, their young people about? Because, you know, if the government's saying it's okay, and most likely with the overwhelming momentum in our culture of legalizing recreational use, it's probably going to become legal in North Carolina, although I'm not in favor of it. But what kind of information do you think would help, and maybe not just parents, just, you know, people who are trying to advise younger people about a situation like smoking marijuana, that just because the government says it's lawful doesn't mean it's beneficial. Any thoughts on that?
Well, again, following up on some of the things that we said, it's important to keep in perspective that we have not appropriately researched this at all. And this is a huge problem. And, you know, heavy marijuana exposure in adolescents, I can't emphasize this enough. We have good, sound evidence on this. Predicts an 8-point drop in IQ from age 13 to 38 years.
That's significant.
This is huge. I mean, heavy marijuana exposure starting in adolescence is an 8-point drop in IQ.
Wow.
With regard to adults for our kids, they have a 2-fold risk increased risk of psychosis in adulthood. Let that sink in. Daily smoking has premalignant changes in the airway. You have an increased risk of stroke in people aged less than 55. You think of stroke in the old people, increased risk of heart attack, daily use and memory impairment for 7 days. You know, for the ones that are having, you know, the moms that are with pregnancy and early exposure, decreased IQ at age 5, 6-point drop.
That's
been published in the, you know, Journal of American Academy of Child, Adolescent and Psychiatry. Increased odds of depression at age 10. Increased odds of marijuana use at age 14. Decreased school achievement at age 14. Because people are doing it doesn't mean it's right. You know, so the thing is, we have some, you know, some medicinal potential value in this, but, you know, we have to kind of keep things in perspective. You know, marijuana is just a plant.
Right.
But the problem is, today's marijuana is a potent hallucinogenic drug.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, marijuana will probably have uses that will benefit mankind medically, but we need much more research. It's sorely needed.
And right.
We know that our medical experience over the past few years, if anything, has shown marijuana to be far more problematic medically than we ever thought. Unfortunately, and problematically, the public perception of risk is dangerously at odds with the scientific data. And that's the problem.
Yeah,
and
it is.
In additional conclusions, when you kind of think of this in the big picture, you know, sadly, from a Christian standpoint, it's really the poor and disadvantaged that are going to suffer disproportionately. And sadly, we have this increased access to teens and minors. And what we're seeing is that profits, politics, and social media are very powerful forces driving this movement. So, I mean, it's just like FDA-approved medical marijuana medications need and should be regulated and regarded like any other FDA-approved medication. I think, you know, in the long term, you know, the legalization of marijuana via FDA approval through formal clinical scientific study research needs to be done, and not by popular vote or by political lobbying, you know. So many physicians believe that marijuana should be, you know, rescheduled to Schedule 2 to help facilitate research.
Okay.
But we need to oppose the promotion and approval of recreational and medical marijuana, even states where it's legal, because of the profound social, health, and personal implications and the inadequate research. So, I mean, that's, you know, so this is the, you know, kind of the big picture. I hope that helps. So,
no, it's a great help, and I think, Dr. Fowler, you do have a generation of adults that are concerned about this for the next generation and are feeling a little alarmed or greatly alarmed because we have a government that's stepping in and saying, it's fine, go ahead and do it. And our gut is, no, it can't be. And then what you're sharing is, well, there is evidence, strong scientific evidence, that this recreational use has negative side effects. Are there medicinal benefits? Yes, but it's got to be well regulated and documented and tested. And what we've got now is marijuana that is much more potent than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. And you told me earlier in the show that some experts put the amount of THC in current marijuana at the levels in effect like heroin or cocaine. And I know for a fact there are studies that show that marijuana is in fact a gateway drug as well, Dr. Fowler, into other things. And so I'm not in agreement that this should be by popular vote. And I think you hit the nail on the head by saying that, is that we're just making a decision because it's popular by elected officials, but we're not necessarily looking at the medical research to help us make that decision. And it seems like, to me, that's not the best way to love the next generation, because I think true love speaks truth and love, not just love. And I'm very concerned. Are you seeing evidence of this from your medical friends in things like emergency rooms, accidents? You know, are they seeing it in real time play out in front of them with their own patients sometimes?
Oh, it's a huge problem. You know, one of our colleagues, he's no longer at the faculty at Campbell, but he had worked in emergency rooms in Colorado, and was just saying, it's amazing the high levels of THC. And again, just for the audience to, you know, remember, you have the two main ingredients with marijuana are THC and CBD.
Yes, sir.
THC is one that has the psychoactive ingredient. It's hallucinogenic. And these levels are rising way out of control. And the CBD is not psychoactive, although it appears to have a mild anti-anxiety effect, and it lessens the psychoactive effect and the psychotic effects of THC. So the problem is our THC levels are 10 to 30 times higher than they were in the 60s and 70s, but the CBD levels have dropped in half.
Wow.
So now you've got, I mean, this is just not the same pot at all. And so this cognitive impairment is a huge issue with regard to traffic fatalities, and we need to have this regulated. There's so many other issues with we see in terms of substantial evidence for complications. We have substantial evidence, not only with the motor vehicle accident, but the chronic bronchitis, and we have moderate evidence for suicidal ideation.
Hmm.
So this is, you know, and I told you about the impaired learning, depression, social anxiety yeah. disorder, you know, heart attack. So we have, again, those are moderate evidence. We have evidence that we need to have the right studies done. You know, releasing this out, because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right.
No.
You know, a majority doesn't find truth. So,
no. And are you finding that others in the medical community are as concerned as you are? Are you an exception to the rule, Dr. Fowler, on this viewpoint? Or are you within the majority within the medical field?
So, actually thinking about this, I was just trying to see if I actually have a quick little, let me see if I could find something here about some of the medical professionals.
Sure. And we've got about 2 minutes more, just so you know.
All right. Let's see. I was just trying
well,
to see if
while
I
you're
had...
while you're looking out.
Here you go. 40, here you go. So in the Journal of Clinical Oncology 2018, 40, and this would attest to the physician irresponsibility, what's going on, because you're putting profits over people, but 46% of oncologists said they had recently recommended medical marijuana to their patients, although 56% of them admitted they did not have sufficient knowledge to do so.
Wow. So why do it? What's the motivation at that point?
Well, and this is the problem. You know, as Cleveland Clinic said, there are better alternatives. And, you know, we need uniformity, and that's why Cleveland Clinic says no. You know, just to recapitulate, you know, Jerome Adams, our Surgeon General, you know, he said, I want you to hear me say this as the nation's doctor, quote, there's no such thing as medical marijuana. Alex Azar, U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, no such thing as medical marijuana, he said 2018. National Academy of Sciences and Engineering Medicine, you know. So anyway, we need appropriate studies, and until we have that, you know, we're really in no man's land, and there's a lot of issues there that we just—it's just not being responsible, right?
Well,
as the one drug,
Dr. Craig, thank you so much for coming on the Steve Noble Show today. I appreciate your wealth of knowledge. It's been very informative, and I look forward to having you back on again. Bless you for your time and research. I appreciate it very much.
Blessings to you and your audience for trying to get educated.
All right. Well, that is Dr. Craig Fowler. He says it may be lawful, but it's not necessarily beneficial. So, folks, as followers of Christ, let's get the gospel to those who need Jesus, because the gospel is what's paramount.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.